Hello, everybody. It's George from Ireland, so welcome back to the channel. Anyway, some rare good news from the Israel-Gaza situation. It looks like a ceasefire is going to happen. Permanent peace, I think it's unlikely. The United States has used its good offices to push for this. Now, for months, they besieged Israel. Could they tone it down? Could they kill not quite so many civilians? Could they be a bit more discriminating? And the Biden White House was eventually banging itself, its head against a wall, because Netanyahu was just deaf to the pleas of humanity to show some quarter, some moral decency, some common humanity, because thousands upon thousands of Palestinian civilians have been killed. Now, Israel's always boasting that it's got state-of-the-art weaponry, pinpoint accuracy. These are surgical strikes. So when they kill civilians, it's no accident. It's deliberate. And if you purposefully kill civilians, knowing them to be civilians, that's murder, isn't it? It is when Hamas does it, so why not when Israel does it? Another thing is to say, oh, we're trying to kill some Hamas fighters, but even Israel acknowledges they've killed far more civilians than Hamas fighters. And under international law and the Geneva Convention, you cannot have a total disregard for civilians there, even if they are using human shields. Now, this is the matter of proportionality. If you're going to kill 10 enemy combatants and you killed one civilian, that might be permissible, but not the other way around. And it's been easily 10 times as many civilians have been killed as Hamas fighters, and saying, oh, but they were fighting, they were hiding among civilians. That's the argument that Hamas uses, that, you know, most Israeli young men are military reservists. We can't tell who's one, who's not, so we're just going to kill them all. Then Netanyahu has the nerve to say the Israeli Defense Force is the most moral army in the world. So anyway, he's morally bankrupt. He's absolutely vile. What a monster. So people say, oh, there's a blood libel against Jewish people. And yes, there were foul anti-Semitic libels in the past. Now, I'm not remotely anti-Semitic. No one should be mistreated on the grounds of his ethnicity, faith, nationality. And Jews have been worse treated than almost anyone else through history. But that doesn't mean it's permissible for the state of Israel to visit such violence upon Palestinian civilians. So there's got to be a better way. The amount of force used has been grossly disproportionate to the threat posed. Yes, Hamas killed hundreds of civilians in one day. They'd do it again if they could, but that doesn't mean that, you know, it's acceptable for Israel to kill so many times more, to kill 30 times more civilians than Israeli civilians were killed, 30 times more. Admittedly, it's not all in one day, but Israel's got these very accurate weapons, whereas Hamas does not. And obviously the United States, the United Kingdom, various other Western countries, they've supplied these weapons, knowing what's going to be done with them. So there's also guilt there. There's more than complicity in this. And So the Biden administration was so exasperated, they withheld some weapons for a while. And then Lord David Cameron nauseatingly said, no, we can't withhold these weapons despite knowing that they will be used to kill civilians, because then that would leave Israel less well defended. It's hugely well defended compared to Hamas. Hamas doesn't have nuclear weapons. Hamas has not one tank, not one plane, not one helicopter, not one armored personnel carrier, not one infantry fighting vehicle, not one howitzer. What does it have? Very, very little, though they are fighting still. Anyway, finally, Netanyahu's ear's been bent. Now, he's abominated by a large section of the Israeli population. But obviously his racist cabinet colleagues who want to slaughter Palestinians in greater numbers are very disappointed that he might not continue. So there are people who are worse than him, people who are openly Islamophobic, are openly viciously anti-Palestinian, or really just the mirror image of Hamas. Now, I know this is not parallel to the Holocaust. Israel is not trying to annihilate the Palestinians. If they wanted to, they would have killed far more people. And they've killed obviously way too many. And it's just a horrific situation. I would place myself in that situation. Imagine being there in Palestine. There is no safe place to go. If you're caught by the Israeli military, you're going to be tortured, slung into a fetid dungeon for goodness knows how long. And there's almost no food. There's no medical care. What if your children are wounded and starving? And where are you going to go? There's almost no clean water. You can't even get out of there. It's just hell on earth. Goodness. So there's been a resignation. Benny Gantz has resigned from the war cabinet because he thinks that Netanyahu is not hawkish enough. He's now in the opposition. And Gadi Eisenkot has also resigned. Both of them were generals. They both used to be chief of staff of the IDF. So the thing is, the United States had a fairly good relationship with Benny Gantz. He wants elections now. But there's 120 seats in the Knesset, the Israeli parliament. And it's unicameral, by the way, which is almost unique there. New Zealand, I can't think of any other sovereign state with a unicameral parliament. He's got 64 votes, so a little bit above a majority. However, Itamar Ben-Gvir, who's national security minister, and Bezalel Smotrich, the finance minister, they may both tether their resignations if he thinks he's not hammering the Palestinians enough. Some Israelis are alarmed, not just for humanitarian reasons, and they're obviously morally courageous, physically courageous Israelis who are just as appalled as I am about the horrors visited upon the much suffering people of Gaza. But those who are worried for different reasons, it's strained relations with the United States, and that is a lifeline to Israel, a country of 9 million people and doesn't have much by natural resources. Okay, they found some oil in the Mediterranean Sea, but they really rely on American diplomatic support. The USA wielding its veto in the UN Security Council, purchase of arms, financial grants, and Israel's quite affluent, doesn't really need the financial grants anymore, but they do appreciate them. Access to intelligence, top-level military technology, and Israel does very little for the United States in return. All right, they vote to condemn Cuba because there's got to be some sort of payback. But if they lost the amity of the United States, that would leave Israel very alone in the world. It doesn't have firm friends apart from that. That's why they've got embassies in little countries like Zambia, which they've got almost no connection, just to spread as far as they can. Obviously, a listening post for Mossad, the Institute of Special Tasks. That's Israel's foreign secret intelligence service. Some of the diplomats are actually undeclared intelligence officers, of course. I mean, most countries do this. But to try and find friends wherever they can, less economic developed countries, granting them aid in hope that they can develop some sort of collaborative relationship. So, Netanyahu may yet be brought down. If he concurs, there'll be a ceasefire. He's obviously said that the war shall not stop till all the objectives have been achieved, as in to absolutely annihilate Hamas. But you can't guarantee to kill every single last member of an enemy organization. So these two are ethno-nationalists, and they simply want to annex Gaza and just illegally occupy it, as they've done to much of the West Bank. So this is just naked smash and grab. Just conquest, so stealing Palestinian land. But there's obviously not been enough international condemnation. Thank goodness South Africa, now supported by Spain, have got that case at the International Court of Justice. But despite this being a legal war, Israel carries on regardless, because it's obviously a rogue state in that regard, illegally occupying some of Syria and Lebanon for decades. And all right, in fairness, I must balance this. There are worse regimes in the Middle East. Saudi Arabia's worse. Iran is worse, Syria is worse, many of them are worse, torturing their own citizens, having no elections, viciously persecuting gays, discriminating against women, ethnic minorities, religious minorities, many atrocities in Syria. Syria was just one large torture chamber for quite some time. So there, you can't use the tu quoque against me. Goodness, so hopefully there will be a ceasefire and that some humanitarian aid could get in there and the Palestinians could get out. And I know there's this desire to depopulate Gaza. Obviously, the Palestinians should not have even more of their land stolen. But what's the alternative? Or having their lives taken away? I mean, I hope some other Arab country willing to take them, maybe for a big payout idea from Israel, which has created most of the problem, as well as other countries. So that's it. It's very dispiriting. Finally, I hope Netanyahu would go. I'd love to see him on trial at the International Criminal Court, him and quite a few of his minions, for the thousands of murders they've committed against an almost disarmed people. Anyway, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Goodbye.